Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the 26th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, the 63rd and 64th verses. And the high priest said to Jesus, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, You have said so. But I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. As we began these meditations last Wednesday, we noted that in meditating on our Savior's passion, we enter into the Holy of Holies of our Christian faith, the Savior's death, that we might have life. And we also noted that all four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell of our Savior's passion in very simple, understandable words. But we finite human beings can never fully plumb the depths of the sufferings of our Savior. In our Lenten meditation this evening, we leave the Garden of Gethsemane and go to the palace of the high priest Caiaphas, where the whole Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, was gathered together. St. Matthew tells us that the whole council then sought false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death, and that many false witnesses came forward to accuse him, until two finally came forward and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And it's then that the high priest stands up and says, Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus is silent. It is then that the high priest says to Jesus, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus replies, You have said so, but I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And on hearing these words of the Savior, the high priest tears his robes and says, He is guilty of blasphemy. What is your judgment? And the Sanhedrin answers, He is guilty of death. Now, our Lord's trial before the high priest was the culmination of a series of events which began when the council of the high priest had gathered together right after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, with the result that many of the people had believed in Jesus. The high priest's council was alarmed and feared that things might get out of hand. You can hear the fear in their words. What are we to do if we let him go on this way? Everybody will believe in him, and the Romans will come and destroy us. It was then that the high priest Caiaphas spoke and said, You don't know anything. You don't understand. that it is expedient that one man should die rather than the whole nation perish. From then on, the high priest and council plotted how they might put Jesus to death. With the help of the traitor Judas, they arrest Jesus and bring him before the high priest and his council. At first glance, what we see here is all too familiar. Familiar in the pages of history, familiar in our own experience. We see here people who hold the reins of power, fearful that their grip on that power might be weakening. And we see how the powerful are quite willing to do whatever it takes to retain their power. It is expedient, that one man should die rather than the whole nation perish. We see here the ugliness of envy. Their envy of Jesus' hold on the people. We see here the ugliness of their jealousy. And Judas, who betrays his Lord, is also a familiar figure. People who aren't themselves powerful, but who are willing to cooperate with the powerful, no matter what the cost. And if it brings them some sort of profit, it's all the better. Judas was satisfied with 30 pieces of silver. Yes, at first glance, what we see here is all too painfully familiar. But when we look again in the light of divine revelation, we see God. St. Paul writes, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." But what we see here in the trial of Jesus is God himself tried, charged, and unjustly condemned by a human judge. In his reply to the high priest, "You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power," Jesus is referring to the 110th Psalm. That psalm we prayed just a few moments ago, the psalm which is quoted in the New Testament scriptures more often than any other psalm. Jesus himself quoted it when he asked the Pharisees, "What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he?" When they correctly answer, "The son of David," Jesus then replies, "How is it then that David, inspired by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand'?" Jesus answers Caiaphas, "You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power," meaning at the right hand of God. And in that same psalm we read, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Not like the priests of the order of Aaron, priests who came and went. Not like Caiaphas, a priest in that changeable line of Aaron. But the eternal high priest who offered himself on the cross and eternally pleads the merits of that one perfect sacrifice in the heavens. And so here we see the eternal high priest standing before a priest of Aaron's line, a priesthood which had pointed forward to the eternal high priest. A priesthood whose end was signified when at Jesus' death, the veil hanging before the Holy of Holies in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Yes, in Jesus' trial before the Sanhedrin, we see all too clearly the ugly reality of envy, of jealousy, of greed for power, of following the way that is expedient rather than the way that is right and good. And we know that Jesus had been brought there through the treachery of Judas, who betrayed him. We see the eternal judge subject to judgment by a human court. But in all of this appalling evil, we see how God was working out his truly loving purpose. The high priest told his council that it is expedient that one man should die rather than the whole nation perish. It is expedient that one man should die rather than the whole nation perish. And St. John then tells us that in saying this, the high priest was in fact saying far more than he could possibly have imagined he was saying. St. John writes, he did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Gather the one flock of the one good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. The eternal high priest whose sacrifice cleanses us from all sin. The Lord of glory. The eternal judge who pardons all who put their trust in him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.